marinate on that for a minute. Kia ora, talofa, namaste, haere mai, and welcome to this week's episode of the Niche Cage Variety Show. We're from the Niche Cage, theniche-cage.com, where you can read about all sorts of Aotearoa sporting information. Lots of football and rugby league at the moment. Maybe a sneaky little Kiwi County tour update coming in the next few days as well. We'll see what happens, but you can read about we've got a Warriors deep dive on the website. Flying Kiwis will be there as per usual. Lots of Kiwi NRL information. A lot of stuff you want to be listening to. You can read about it, or you can already have read it on our website, theniche-cage.com. And prior to this, we have recorded our Patreon podcast for the Patreon whānau. You can join the Patreon whānau, patreon.com/our niche cage. Today we record our Patreon podcast. We did drop a couple of thoughts on Henry Shipley joining the Kiwi County Tour, playing for Sussex. We also reacted to a all-white squad to face Sweden and Qatar before diving deep into the New Zealand Warriors' victory over the Dolphins. So you can have a listen to that on our Patreon feed. And Patreon is the best way. It's not the only way, but it is the best way, the easiest way to support the Niche Cage straight up the guts. Patreon.com/our niche cage. You can also sign up to our email newsletter on Substack, thenichecage.substack.com. Monday, what did that mean? It meant a big old Warriors breakdown. So we got attacking the Warriors from all angles. You can read about it, deep dive on our website. There were extra stats in the email newsletter. Did a spun a yarn for the Patreon feed, and I'll also spin another yarn for the variety show. So that's an example of how the Niche Cage can attack Warriors footy from all angles. We are basically attacking like the Warriors. Bit of shape, bit of push, attacking from all angles when analyzing and breaking down winning Warriors footy. Of course, Monday also meant big old domestic football wrap. Nico the Wildcard had information about the Tall Ferns, the Tall Blacks, and there was one other thing.
Yeah, there was there was something for
NBL basketball.
No, it was about the All Whites, and Sweden had already named their squad. The All Whites hadn't named theirs yet, so I had some stuff on Sweden and a little bit of specos about the A Dubs, which is now, I guess now I get to turn that. Now the squad's out, so I get to turn that into a full length written thing. Came out too late to mention them in this podcast, but as you said, we did talk about it in the Patreon, like fresh off the press.
What is specos about the A Dubs? Is that some sort of lingo or
speculation about the All Whites?
All right. So that is all there as part of our email newsletter. It comes out every Monday and Friday via Substack, thenichecage.substack.com. It's all there for you. We got podcasts, we got the email newsletter, we got the website. You can get all your Kiwi sporting information straight from us, the Niche Cage. We're here for you, and we start our podcast with a dose of mindfulness.
And this dose is coming straight from 19th century poet Walt Whitman, who always has a good quote on him, that fella. But this particular one, I'm paraphrasing slightly, but truth is whatever satisfies the soul. Truth is whatever satisfies the soul, which is a nice one to keep in mind in an age where I think the very concept of truth is debated, and people like to base their truths based on their own preconceived ideas and whatever. It's always nice to remember that there is a way to check these things, which is our natural instincts, and we do have, you can generally tell what's true and what's real just by like stripping everything back and trusting nature, I suppose. Truth is whatever satisfies your soul. There's your lie detector right there.
Just takes a bit of work to really understand and tune it into does. The soul. You got to get through a bit of muck, get through a bit of grit and dirt and sludge to really connect with your soul, and then you can best forward, and that's where your happiness comes from. It also reminds me of another one about the soul, which was, don't have anyone to like credit this to, but I just heard it one time. Depression is a mutiny of the soul. So if you connect that to what your mindfulness, which was
truth is whatever satisfies the soul.
Truth is whatever satisfies your soul. Depression is a mutiny of the soul. So there's not much happiness there. There's not much satisfaction there. So you might need to get in tune with your soul's truth. How about that? A little bit of mindfulness for you. Connect with your soul. See what happens. All good. Let's crack into some Aotearoa sport. And I'm going to start the show here. Because I'm going to continue this absolute dump of Warriors information after their victory over the Dolphins. They did have a good win over the Dolphins. It was a classic example of Warriors footy under Andrew Webster. Not a whole lot of there were a lot of turnovers deep in the Dolphins' territory, not kicking on the last, turning the ball over deep in their territory, whacking them on defense, making meters. As I've said a few times, the Warriors, they are third for kick return meters in the NRL. So you got Sean Zickel-Krogstad, you got the back three working hard. Boom, lots of options in attack. Turn the ball over deep in Dolphins territory, whack them again, repeat that process. That was what the Warriors have done all season long. And against the Dolphins team that is highly competitive and they have a lot of mana under Wayne Bennett, the Warriors needed to do that for 60 minutes before they really reap the rewards of that grind. And we've talked a lot about the Warriors' grind this season, even in dour situations against the Sharks. The grind paid off. The grind has paid off in two wins over the Cowboys and two wins over the Bulldogs. We saw it again at Mount Smart / Go Media Stadium. Let's also say biggest crowd of the round was at the Warriors' home game in Auckland. How about that? A little bit of Aotearoa Rugby League flavour. I reckon you're seeing a lot of Sean Johnson celebration. That's great. He's in career best form. Fenua Blake's in career best form. I reckon Tohu Harris is in career best form. I reckon Manaate Niokore, that was one of his best games for the Warriors. Don't know if it's career best form compared to what he was doing for the Eels, but it's close. Sean Zickel-Krogstad, I think he is in career best form, which is absolutely ridiculous considering what he was doing for the Raiders when they went to a grand final. Now I think he's playing better footy. That is to say, in a game like that, it takes a lot of good players to defeat a team like the Dolphins. I also just want to go down another quick rabbit hole because there was some interesting stuff in New South Wales Cup. Ali Liatau was on fire. He scored two tries in the loss against Rabbitohs. And this is interesting because Rocco Berry, Adam Pompey, Ali Liatau, Viliami Vailea, they're all young centres. They all played first 15 rugby. And they all have a very similar skill set. And I think Liatau, he might be nudging his way up the depth chart, but we'll have to wait and see. Berry out of St. Pat's Silverstream, Pompey out of Tuakau, Wesley College via Tuakau. Liatau played first 15 for King's College. Vailea played first 15 for Aorere. Liatau is just as good as those other dudes, I reckon. Lots of competition, lots of depth there. This game against the Rabbitohs in New South Wales Cup also saw Etuati Fukufuka play his first game. He played 23 minutes off the bench, couple of runs and a kick. Couple of runs and a kick for an SG ball player stepping into New South Wales Cup footy. That's what he does. That's what he did all season for SG ball. First game New South Wales Cup, that's what he is doing. Jacob Laban also played as an SG ball player. He played 80 minutes, made a lot of tackles, 31 tackles, one missed tackle. So you've got two dudes from the SG Ball team playing New South Wales Cup this weekend. Let's add a third, because the old mate, young mate, Selumiela Halasima, who is probably at school as we record this, he played his second 80-minute game in a row. He also averaged 11 meters per run, which is rather ridiculous. He averaged 11.8 meters per run. He also made 34 tackles. So three SG Ball dudes playing New South Wales Cup and a Warriors team that is winning in the NRL, playing good footy. Lots of lads in career best zones as well. What's your leading banger from the weekend sporting action?
Well, there was an A-League Grand Final on... must have been Saturday night. Yeah, it was. It was on Saturday night. It was Melbourne City leading the whole way through the season, minor premiers, best team in the comp, up against Central Coast Mariners, who... probably the second best team in the comp over the course of the whole season. They've been really, really funky, really enjoyable team to watch. And they absolutely turned it up in the grand final. They won 6-1 over City, which was, you know, significant in and of itself. Also significant in that this was definitely, if the Wellington Phoenix weren't able to win the A-League, this was definitely the next best option from a Kiwi football perspective. Because starting fullbacks for Central Coast Mariners on the right side, you had Storm Root. On the left side, you had James McGarry. And both have had really interesting sort of pathways to get to where they are, where like Root came up with the Mariners, went to a few other clubs, had a serious injury at one point, got swept up in the All Whites eligibility stuff at that one phase as well, and was probably at a point where it was like, is he going to maintain his thing as an A-League level player? And then he goes back to where it started for him at the Central Coast Mariners. And yeah, he's now an A-League champion. So that's going all right for him. James McGarry was obviously, you know, he was a bit of a star coming up the Wellington Phoenix Academy. He was one of the standout dudes of his age grade, playing mostly as a striker. Then he doesn't get a first team contract. Instead, he decides to go to Netherlands, plays for Willemsvee for a year or two, where he played a few times in the top flight in you know, the Dutch Eredivisie, but yeah, mostly sitting on the bench as like a fringe young player. And he was also converted into a left back at that time. He had been more of a left wing / center forward type player, converted into a left back, returns to the Wellington Phoenix, has a couple years there, doesn't quite kick on. Like, he has some nice moments, but he doesn't quite, he doesn't break through in the way that he probably would have hoped he was going to when he went back. Goes to Newcastle, has one really good game against the Phoenix where he scores a banger for the Jets, but kind of, you know, they shift up their formation a little bit. They ask it something a little bit different mid-season from their fullbacks. He falls out of favor, mid-season transfer to the Central Coast Mariners. And at the Mariners, he's scoring goals, he's setting goals up, he's winning an A-League championship. Everything worked out perfectly for him there. It was a great little thing for a dude who's really, like, he's had some good opportunities and he's either struggled to, like, kick on, or he's struggled to just find the right fit at some of those teams. And I think he's got that now at Central Coast, which is awesome. Have to shout out Brian Kaltuck as well, Vanuatu's greatest ever footballer probably at this point, who, because, you know, he's not a Kiwi baller, but he is a familiar face for several years in the New Zealand domestic scene, winning national leagues with Auckland City and whatnot. And that is a beautiful sign of the pathway available to the A-League from the from, you know, the New Zealand National League, and also that the players who do well at that level can make that step up. There are dude, because he's not like a 19-year-old breaking through. He's about 28 or 29 or something. He's been around the traps, and this was really an opportunity where it felt like maybe he wouldn't get that. Maybe there's time, like maybe it just slipped past him a little bit. But nope, there he goes, straight in, and he makes a PFA Team of the Year. Absolutely brilliant for Central Coast all season. Would shout out to, not part of the grand final squad, but youngster Zach Zorizic, Kiwi fullback, again, made a debut off the bench for them earlier on in the season. He's the son of All Whites legend Chris Zorizic. And Henry Gray, under-20s goalkeeper, did spend some time training with them during the season earlier on. He's since signed with Ipswich Town in the English... I think they got promoted, aren't they? So they got promoted to the English Championship, so second tier there, where he'll probably go into their academy team at first. He's a backup for the under-20 World Cup squad. But big Kiwi links with the A-League champion Central Coast Mariners there. It was, as I say, if it wasn't going to be the Wellington Phoenix, this is the result that we wanted.
Interesting to note that a couple of examples there, like we're seeing in rugby league, like we're seeing in basketball, you can transition from domestic sport in Aotearoa to performing and at higher levels. Like there is there, and that to me that just proves the quality of sport we do have here in Aotearoa, that you can be that you can make that transition. My next topic here is a weird one, bit of a weird one. Kaikara France, he lost his UFC fight against Amir Albazi. Kaikara France lost despite doubling the striking mahi of his opponent and also nullifying most, if not all, of Albazi's takedown attempts. The takedowns that were successful from Albazi didn't actually lead to anything because Kaikara France, he's got that CKB grappling defense, so he can handle. There was a choking attempt that he handled, no worries, up against the cage. He's fighting the hands, he's getting through his process of do this, do that, work this, work that, then eventually you get out of it. So he was better striking, he handled all of the grappling all good, and he got better as the fight went on. Like his busiest striking rounds were round 4, and then that increased to round 5. But he lost. Who knows why? But that's all to say the UFC is whack. Like the UFC is just straight up whack. Their scoring system is whack. The judging is whack because like everyone has a different opinions on the scoring system. So everyone talking about the fight has different interpretations of the scoring system. Let alone each judge. Let alone each state, which hands out the judges to each event, let alone like all of that on top of the UFC already being kind of whack. Like they don't pay the fighters much, they've got all this other shit happening, their business practices are dubious, the leading geezer, the front head honcho guy, Dana White, he's a bit of a weirdo, the whole UFC is just kind of whack. Then something like this happens to a Kiwi fighter and you're just like, yo, UFC is just whack. What's your other sporting highlight from the weekend?
Well, not whack would be the Wellington Saints all of a sudden, who are sneakily working their way up that NBL ladder. They had a terrible start to the season. They lost their first 3 in a row, but they've actually won 4 in a row recently. They're up to 6-5 now, climbing into the top 6 after road wins against Nelson and Taranaki on the weekend, who are, you know, even away from home, they're probably games that they would have backed themselves to win, but they did. And not only did they win, but they scored 120 points against Nelson, they scored 111 against Taranaki. So big scoring areas from the Saints. That's how they need to win, because defensively, we know they're not amazing, but I think they've topped triple figures in like 5 games out of 11 this year, so they're pretty good. They've also conceded triple figures in 3 games out of 11, although one of those was against Nelson where they did still win. Kyle Adnam, Australian guard, doing fantastic things. I think he's leading the league in assists. He had like a 25-16 game in the Nelson one. Another double-double with points and assists in the second win as well this weekend. He's fantastic. Isaiah Mucius has really helped them with the scoring. American import joined a couple games in. He's made a big deal. Tom Vodanovic has been streaky, but he's had his moments. He certainly had a big game I think it was the Nelson game, he was pretty good. And also in that Nelson game, Torrey Smith-Milner shot 5 of 5 from deep. So there you go. Like there's all the ability on this team to turn things around. They've won 4 games in a row. And if they keep this going, I don't know, they're not going to be a team anyone wants to face. We know what the Saints are like traditionally as a powerhouse in this league. Again, still that streakiness. You can still very much see them playing against a top team and just shooting 20% from deep and 40% from the field and losing. Like, that could happen. And defensively, big issues. But, you know, Isaiah Liafa should probably back, if not this week, then next week. And, yeah, this team is on a roll. They're 6-5. They're fifth. They've actually only got one win. They're actually only now one win behind the Otago Nuggets, suddenly, who were leading things. So it's getting cramped up the top of that NBL table, I'll tell you what.
I wouldn't describe Lydia Ko's LPGA season as whack, but I can see how someone else might think it is whack, because these are her results this year. Tied 6th, tied 31st, tied 34th, missed the cut, tied 42nd, and then tied 33rd. So she has had 5 events and she has finished worse than tied 30th in 4 of the 5. So none of that is like overly fantastic, but I think Lydia Ko's just cruising this year. She had a big year last year. She was a dominant force. She had a big off season, getting married and just enjoying life. So mad respect to her. Slow start to this year. I just think she's cruising, but I am curious what happens as she does play a lot more events, because she played one event in February, two events in March, one event in April, one event in May, one event in June, so far in June. So she's not the busiest LPGA golfer, but I'm curious as she settles back into the season how her, you know, performances look then. You're up.
I have got to say that I am excited about the impending Liberato Cacace breakthrough at Empoli in Serie A. It has not come this season. I think you saw, like, you know, we saw a bunch of big transfers, like had a couple massive transfer windows in a row with Kiwi players. And I think we've seen kind of over the past season a few, like, unfamiliar hurdles for some of these guys, and Cacace was one of them. Yet, like, Joe Bell is another, who moved to Bromby and was doing okay to start, like, to finish last season, to start this season. Then, you know, new manager changes things up. He's on the bench watching a lot of games as the season finishes. Marco Stamenich had, like, 6 months. Some of that was a winter break, but he had about 6 months in there where he was barely playing, didn't make a start, only getting a few off the bench after he had announced that he was going to leave. So it goes. Sarpreet Singh had a rotten year with just playing for a terrible team on loan, who at first didn't even register him properly, so he missed a couple months because of that. Comes in, couple games in a row, he's getting his goal, he's getting like assists and looking good. He's looking like the creative force he once was. But the team sucked, and very soon that balanced out, and he didn't have another goal or assist after his first 5 games or something for the rest of the season. Ended it also as an unused sub, because they, with the time they finally sacked the manager, which sounded like real NRL areas, like the manager had friends in the boardroom and they didn't want to sack him because he was their bro and whatever, and he just kept losing games for that reason. And then eventually they brought in a new guy, but it was at the point where they were already going to be relegated. So what's the new guy going to do? He's in to build for next year. He's not going to pick the guy who's on loan who's leaving. So he didn't pick him. Even Chris Wood, you know, just 2 seasons in a row where he's done a good, he did a really good job for Newcastle. Always defend what he did for Newcastle, but it wasn't scoring goals. It wasn't being flashy stuff like we've seen from him in the past. And then as he was starting to get the hang of stuff at Nottingham Forest, he gets injured and misses out. So some of that frustration stuff, Cacace was part of that. In Cacace's case, it was because he was stuck behind a bloke called Fabiano Parisi, who last year, second half of the season, had split minutes with. They were alternating starts, but there's a different manager this year, and fair play to Parisi, he was absolutely brilliant. He was so good that he surged into the Italy squad. And if you're being picked as a left back out of Empoli, like, that's not Inter Milan, that's not AC Milan, that's not Juventus, that's Empoli, that's as a team fighting to not get relegated, you're doing pretty good to be making Italy squads out of that. And so Cacace just kind of had to deal with a year where he was his backup. He still sprinkled in some appearances along the way. He played 12 games. That's 2 more than he had last year. He made the same amount of starts, five starts in both seasons. So he's getting his reps in, working hard in the gym, clearly. He's poked up. But the reason it's exciting is because last 2 games of the season, Cacace gets both starts. And the reason for that is because, similar to what I was saying about Sarpreet Singh, but this is on the other side, Empoli had finally officially avoided relegation. Great little run of form to get them into that point late season. And Parisi's leaving. He's under contract, but he's leaving. All season, he's been so good. He's been linked with Inter Milan. He's been linked with Fiorentina. He's been linked with these other clubs. His manager the whole time has been like, yeah, this guy is not going to stay at Empoli. We're selling him. You know, don't worry about it. He's leaving. Cacace's manager has been saying things along the lines, when Cacace would get his spare starts because Parisi was suspended or something, be like, no, this, I know he hasn't played a lot, but this is an important player for us. He's a guy we see for the future. It's clear. He was backup. He was serving apprenticeship this year. Next year, he's going to be the starter. And, you know, numero uno. And as we saw in these 2 games, like, a lot to get buzzed about. This is a level that he can do some pretty special things in when he starts playing regularly, despite how strong Serie A is. And, you know, it's not as strong as it was 20 years ago, but it's still one of the top leagues in Europe. These 2 games, we saw, I think they played Verona and Lazio, and we saw from him, like, solid defense. You know, not getting beaten one-on-ones. He's holding his position. He's doing good things. He's good under pressure. He's moving the ball around. You can't tackle him. You can't press him and dispossess him. He can shield it. He can lay it off. He can make move a 1-2. He can do all these things. He's got energy on the overlaps. Even late in games, he's still pushing forward. Crosses into the area. They even had him on set-piece duties and some of the stuff, which was real funny to see. Didn't necessarily expect that, but man, he was whipping in some deep balls, perfect little crosses, right, like 8 yards out from goal. Keeper can't come for it. Attackers getting on there. He should have had an assist from one of them, actually, in the game before. Next season, he should be a full-time starter. We'll have to keep an eye on how that Parisi transfer stuff goes. Hopefully that does actually happen, but it all goes to plan. He will be a starting left-back in one of the top divisions in Europe, and I'm excited for it, man. I can't wait.
I'm excited for the crop of young outside backs sniffing around NRL footy, because this weekend we had Junior Ponga make his first appearance for the Roosters. And Ponga is a player who's been on the radar for Warriors fans for a while. He was a junior Warriors player while he was at Kelston Boys High School, Glenora Bears Junior. And he came through the Warriors system. Very powerful centre who didn't quite kick on with the Warriors, went to Wynnum, and then from Wynnum, a few seasons in Queensland Cup, he went to the Tigers. It was a bit of a mid-season shift as part of the Michael Maguire takeover, the Kiwi NRL takeover of the Tigers, and then that led to Ponga making his NRL debut with the Tigers. And then he was part of a wave of players who joined the Roosters system. And he basically commanded this opportunity on the wing for the Roosters through New South Wales Cup dominance. He scored a try for the Roosters, had a few errors, but he was pretty solid. His performance reflected the entire Roosters performance. And his form in New South Wales Cup was to the extent that he overtook Jackson Polo, who was a Northcote junior. So that shows that Ponga had dominated New South Wales Cup. He had literally commanded his opportunity. And I found this interesting because the buzz all week was about Valence Tafare. And you would have seen lots of like mainstream media stories about Valence Tafare, cult hero, Valence the House, all this stuff. There's quite a number of Kiwi NRL outside backs who are doing similar things to Valence Tafare, or they have done similar things. Valence Tafare dominated Queensland Cup at centre last year, and Will Warbrick did the same thing. And Will Warbrick is a starting winger for the Melbourne Storm. He's going all right. Dean Mariner was, I'd say, over the course of 1.5 seasons of Queensland Cup footy, Dean Mariner has been as dominant as Valence Tafare. And he was playing on the wing for the Broncos last week. Keanu Kinney has been as dominant as both of them in a shorter amount of time at fullback for the Burley Bears. He started at fullback for the Titans. This week in New South Wales Cup, we also had Alfred Smalley from Otahuhu. He scored a hat-trick for the Bears. Blacktown Sea Eagles, Manly's New South Wales Cup team, they had Morgan Harper and Jackson Ferris, two Kiwi NRL juniors, centre, wing. They both scored 2 tries. Let alone Ali Liatawa, who was one of the most dominant centres in New South Wales Cup. Like, there's a lot of these dudes floating around. Be prepared. They're all going to play NRL. Another one for you.
Another one is that the Tall Ferns are in Europe right now. They're on a little sneaky tour, playing 5 games, 3 of them against Serbia, and then also against Turkey and Poland. All of this is in preparation for the Asia Cup, which is happening at the end of the month, where if they finish in the top 4 at the Asia Cup, which would be their best ever finish, I think they've come 5th before, they've come 6th recently as well, but if they can get top 4, make the semi-finals, that will keep them into, or put them into, Olympic qualifiers as well, for a chance to make it to the Olympics for the first time in quite a while. It's been quite a few Olympics since the Tall Ferns last made it, and I think they might have only actually made it once as well. So, a lot on the line. Busy preparation. They played the first game against Serbia, and they lost pretty handily. It's about 20-odd points in it. It's kind of, you know, that's fine. As Serbia, I think they might even be European champions, but they're definitely a top 10 ranked women's basketball team in the world. Really good. and the Tall Ferns aren't that. So what are you going to do? They got blown out early because Serbia were hitting a bunch of threes, but strong second half. I think they actually won the second half slightly in terms of the scoring there, and they did have some good presence inside. They slightly edged the rebounding. They got the points in the paint advantage as well. So there's some good stuff to build up from there, and it is a very young team. You look at that squad that they've got, 12 players over there. Stella Beck and Penina Davidson both have 50-plus caps, so that's cool. But other than that, the next most experienced player is Charlie Sledger-Walker, who's, you know, still at college, for one more year before she makes the WNBA. There are 8 of the 12 players who came into this tour with single-digit games for the Tall Ferns, 4 of them debutants, plus I think there might be 1 or 2 more who weren't technically debutants, but they were debutants in terms of like caps, test matches kind of thing, the equivalent anyway, where they had played, because they went on a, Tall Ferns had a tour of Australia earlier, it's like start of the year, where they played a few Aussie club teams, so I think they might have counted some of those games. A couple of players who had done that, but hadn't played it against another country internationally. And they're missing a couple of players, like obviously no Mary Goulding, who had a, you know, quite a serious car accident recently. And good news is that it sounds like she's out of critical condition, which is good. Best wishes to her and the whānau for a speedy recovery. She actually just come back from an Achilles tear as well, so, you know, not the best luck there. But hopefully she's all good. Shivana Pelvast, another experienced player, out injured. Talia Tupaia, who was the MVP of the Tauihi League last year. And she was Australian at that point. She's an Australian import, played for Australia in like under-17s, under-19s, but she has since switched allegiances, apparently, and she's going to represent the Tall Ferns now. She was going to be on this tour. She got injured as well. Also, Lauren Hippolyte is, I think, with the under-23s 3x3 for some reason when this Tall Ferns game's on. I don't know how that works, but she'll probably come back in for the Asia Cup. Hopefully all three of them come back in for the Asia Cup. And the other thing is, I don't actually think Coach Guy Malloy is there, because he coaches the Southland Sharks as well, and I'm pretty sure I saw him on TV yesterday in the Sharks-Nuggets game. So I'm not sure if he's actually on the tour either, but, you know, there's some strong assistants. I think they got, like, Leanne Walker as an assistant, and I think old... what's her name? Cameron, isn't it? Jody Cameron is an assistant as well, I think. So there's some plenty of talent there around, and the coaching staff as well. But young team, very young team from the Tall Ferns.
Just quickly, my last thing is Jordan Ricci. I think he's in a fantastic patch of form. He has helped the Broncos roll through State of Origin, defeating the Warriors and the Sharks. Last two games, he's made 80 tackles with one miss, which going through his season tallies is pretty damn impressive. And also, these are his first two games running over 100 meters. Really important footy from Jordan Ricci with the Brisbane Broncos. What's your last Kiwi sports note here?
My last one is my Flying Kiwis transfer watch list. So we got a few guys. There's always some that we don't know. You can't predict what's going to happen in terms of transfers, things that happen out of the blue. There's young players who haven't stepped up yet. Okay, I'm not counting them. I'm talking about established professionals who I'm not quite sure what's going to happen, and I am going to be keeping a close eye to see what does happen with them. Sarpreet Singh is one. Finished his loan. All his loan stuff has been terrible luck with Regensburg and beyond, so hopefully there's a permanent deal coming up for him or a chance to have another go with the buy-in team. I think more likely the former. See what happens there. Nick Zarnov and Matt Crocombe tied, both of them. Very good seasons in League 2. Could stay at their club. Zarnov is under contract but has been linked to Blackburn Rovers. Max Crocombe has been offered a new contract but it's been nearly a month and he still hasn't signed it, so that sounds like something else. Keep an eye on that. Vic Essen is another one. Football Ferns starting goalkeeper. Had some job sharing duties at Rangers throughout the season. And I just wonder, particularly once she's had an opportunity to play at the World Cup and the spotlight of that, I wonder if you're going to settle for going back to Rangers, or maybe, considering they also missed the Champions League, maybe boost that into some kind of bigger, no doubt, a number one opportunity somewhere. Miley Luluai, likely to be captaining the New Zealand under-17s at the World Cup later this year. He's been released by Manchester City, didn't get their scholarship thing. We'll see what happens there. He's trained with Rangers. He's trialled with Stoke as well. And there were some links with Burnley too, so we'll see how that happens. A lot of those clubs have Man City links too, by the way. Callum McLeod has failed to get promoted with Helsingør, but had a really good season. Will he go somewhere? Eli Just didn't quite crack on in the Superliga with Horsens, largely because they sucked and they got relegated, so they might meet as opponents in the first division in Denmark, or they could both transfer somewhere. I'm at least going to be keeping an eye out. Lots of A-League women's players, but in particular Claudia Bunge, who was close to a move to England last year, decided one more year in A-League. Was she going to get that English deal following on from the World Cup properly? We shall see. Marco Rojas, I think, is probably going to be released from Colo-Colo after the next game, which is a Copa Libertadores game. He'll be a free agent. And then Michael Vaud, stuck at fourth choice at Kyoto Sanga in Japan. He has got to get out of there somehow, because you don't want to be a fourth choice goalkeeper.
Musical jam. I just want to celebrate the CoStar Cade project next to me. Some young folks out of Auckland. They're known as indie pop rock. It sounds like glorious rock and roll from the 90s, like the era we grew up with, that type of rock and roll. So lively, lots of variation. Shout out Coast Arcade, love their project. You should all listen to it as well. What's your musical jam?
Oh, second that Coast Arcade one. I quite like that too. I've heard of a couple of their singles are featured in our album, weekly playlist as well. I'd also chuck up, it's an album by Megabog, which is very good. Sort of weirdo poppy electronic stuff. Definitely with like a post-punky rock edge as well. That's a very, very cool album with some wild videos as well. I like that one. That was in the album Jukebox, and that is also live, the album Jukebox, with 9 albums between the two of us that we scrambled up little reviews for, recommendations. Check that one out if anyone's interested in our musical tastes.
That is the variety show for this Tuesday. We'll be back on Thursday with another big niche cast for you. Check out the website, thenish-case.com. Tune in. Let us know. Subscribe, like, however you want to do it. Big up yourself. Love yourself. Kia kaha. Stay beautiful. Cheer.